This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. Thrive Suite Productions. And welcome back to This Day in Sports History. It's February 10th, and on this day in 1962, another four-minute barrier was cracked. So, most folks know that British runner Roger Bannister recorded the first sub-four-minute mile in May of 1954. It was a human feat that, for the longest time, the majority of people that had ever lived on this planet thought was unobtainable. But once the barrier was broken, several stepped through that void. Now, of course, Bannister's record was outside, which is not to minimize that one bit. But it took nearly another 8 years before the feat of a sub-four-minute mile could be duplicated indoors. And the man who crashed through it has been mostly lost to history, except in the most niche of running circles. So, a couple of things first. One, the mile used to be a really big deal. It has a long and rich history that dates back to the late 19th century. It was a distance that was regularly contested with 20th century stars such as Finland's Paavo Nurmi, American's Jim Ryan and Wes Santee, Australian John Landy, and of course Bannister, pushing the boundaries on what was thought to be humanly possible. You can still find mile races, such as the Wanamaker Mile and the Bowerman Mile at the Prefontaine Classic, but with most of the world on the metric system, it is not an Olympic event. There's the 1500 meter, which is called the metric mile, but that falls short. Secondly, running an indoor mile is slower than running one outside on a 400 meter track. Indoor tracks have tighter turns, and more of them. Indoor tracks are usually built to fit into a space and can be 200 meters or even 160 meters. Now, couple a smaller track with some science, more accurately physics, with centrifugal forces pushing the runner outward, and so when you enter a turn, you either have to slow down a little or work exceptionally hard to stay in the lane, using more energy to counteract that physics pushing you outward. So it's with all that information that leads to what happened on this day in 1962 at the Los Angeles Sports Arena. American Jim Beatty became the first person in the world to run a sub-four-minute mile indoors. Beatty, a North Carolina native, had been a distance man in the 1960 Olympics in Rome, running the 5,000 meter. Well, on this night, a full house of 13,000 fans were in the seats to hopefully watch history being made as Beatty suited up for the Los Angeles Track Club, running with three LATC runners with the intent on assaulting the indoor mile record. Jim McKay and ABC Sports broadcast it live. The gun to start the race fired at 10:15 that night, and it would be over before it hit 10:19. The group ran the first quarter in 59.1 seconds, with Beatty getting paced by his teammates. Coming out of the corner on the eighth lap, Beatty slingshot his way past his final pacer and picked up the pace considerably. He sprinted out of the final turn and broke the tape in an astounding 3 minutes, 58.9 seconds, to become the first person to go sub-4 indoors. Beatty became known as Mr. Indoor, with Bannister Mr. Outdoor. Reflecting on his feat 60 years later, Beatty said, "Being the very first to accomplish something special, well, that can never be taken away. It is everlasting." Also on this day, In 1996, IBM's Deep Blue defeated a chess champion for the first time, taking down then-current world champ Garry Kasparov. And in 2012, Lin's sanity went into the stratosphere. The New York Knicks' Jeremy Lin dropped 38 in a 92-85 win against Kobe Bryant and the LA Lakers. In the run-up to the game, Kobe had been asked what he thought of Jeremy and the whole Lin sanity craze. He said he didn't know what they were talking about. On this night, Kobe got a front-row seat of the frenzy. That's all for today. More tomorrow on This Day in Sports History.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we got to show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.